Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Well, I think we can all...
Well, first of all, before we go any further, everyone, welcome back once again, Chad Brown.
Chad Brown.
Who's in for Stink. Stink will be back tomorrow. Chad's done an amazing job filling in this week. It's not easy to... it's easy for one morning, come on in, do your thing, help out. But, you know, you do it two, three mornings in a row. I mean, it's kind of a shock to the system. Yes. As we found out with Nick Ferguson, who in day... Was it day two or day three... Day two overslept.
So, come on, Nick.
Yeah, I know.
Be a pro, baby. Be a pro.
I know. So.
First, you can't do the job if you don't show up. That's the first part of doing the job.
The greatest ability, as you always like to say, is availability.
Absolutely. Be here. Be on time.
Be on time. So you've been on time.
Yes.
So I really appreciate you staying in these last couple of days. It's been a lot of fun. And I think we'd all agree that during the pandemic, when we were all locked down, one of the really godsends for all of us was The Last Dance.
Oh, man.
Right?
That was critical.
How great was that to be able to watch all that? It was just must-see TV. Well, apparently The Last Dance made quite an impression on Aaron Rodgers. So, according to... So this is a report in The Athletic. And this is Aaron Rodgers, who apparently has mocked GM Brian Gutekunst in group chats with his teammates in Green Bay by referring to the GM as Jerry Krause. Now, the late Krause, who we all saw in The Last Dance,
who was the enemy.
He was the enemy
of Last Dance. He was a villain.
This is the guy who broke up the dynasty. The reason they called it The Last Dance was because Jerry Krause didn't want to bring back Phil Jackson, and upper management sided with Krause over Phil Jackson, and it led to the premature breakup of the Chicago Bulls despite six championships.
Should have been more.
Of course there should have been more. So if Aaron Rodgers is calling Gutekunst Jerry Krause, the only thing I guess he could go one step further is just call him Crumbs. That's what Michael Jordan would mockingly call Krause, because he always had
Crumbs on his shirt.
He had Crumbs on his shirt, so called him Crumbs. That's a great nickname. But here's my question to you. Because anybody who saw that, there was a side of Michael Jordan that we saw, a lot of us saw, and we're like, whoa, Jordan was kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he was consumed with winning, but...
To the point of being a jerk.
In the process of winning, he was a bit of a jerk.
To teammates, to team personnel, yeah.
But he had six rings. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is one. I don't know. Are you turned off a little bit? Do you look at Aaron Rodgers a little differently if he is indeed acting and talking this way?
Do you need to have multiple championships in order to criticize a GM? No. Are GMs easy targets for players? Of course they are. Was Krause and the GM of the Packers doing their jobs, recognizing that at some point this has to come to an end, whether it's the Chicago Bulls team or Aaron Rodgers' career in Green Bay, and I've got to prepare for that eventuality. It's going to happen. Father Time is always undefeated. Father Time always wins. So am I going to be the GM who's left without a quarterback? No, you go and get Jordan Love. Am I going to be the GM who keeps the dynasty together for too long while all these older players get injured, can't play full seasons, we got a bloated salary base, and we can't keep this thing going. So I understand where Krause is coming from. I understand where the Packers GM is coming from. But as we saw in The Last Dance, superstars are sensitive. Superstars have a little bit of a jerk or Richard in them. And we've seen that from Brett Favre with some of the things he said. And Michael Jordan has been out there on full display since The Last Dance. I mean, there's memes on the internet now of Michael Jordan and those images from The Last Dance. So I see both sides of this, but I do not take offense. And if the GM takes offense at Aaron Rodgers making fun, he shouldn't. Aaron Rodgers wanting him to be fired, that's a different circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
But a player poking fun at a GM, I've been on buses and planes with every team I've been on, and the GM is always the target because they're the bad guy.
Okay, but then the biggest takeaway I had from watching The Last Dance was, how in the world did you effectively choose Jerry Krause over Michael Jordan?
If you're ownership?
Yes, how? That's the biggest takeaway I had from that. So then I'll ask the same question here. If you're Packers upper management, how do you choose Brian Gutekunst over Aaron Rodgers? To me, it's as simple as, bye-bye, GM.
Well, see you later.
Why can't you just do that? I mean, yeah, okay, your star player got the GM fired. So?
You can't.
Players get coaches fired all the time ownership, by tuning them out.
Ownership, particularly in the NFL, doesn't ever want to let the players run anything. It's all run from upstairs. They don't even let the coaches run anything. It's always about those guys upstairs. It's always been that way. And unlike the NBA, where the players have wrestled more power away from the owners versus when Michael Jordan was in the league, the NFL still remains that way. It's not too far removed from the old Lombardi days where ownership gets to say whatever they want to say and do whatever they want to do. It's still thought of that way upstairs.
But we are in a time now where the quarterback position's never been important. The obvious desperation that teams show every year. We just got done looking at another draft in which teams again showed how their moves are driven by panic, overdrafting quarterbacks because we gotta have a quarterback, right? I mean, even here, what was the main argument for drafting Justin Fields? It had nothing to do with, hey, I've done a really deep dive into my own personal scouting reporter, Justin Fields. It's no, he was available. We need a quarterback. We got to draft him. So in a time in which there is this widespread panic in trying to find these guys, man, if you're one of the lucky ones, yes, he becomes the most important guy in your franchise. And if he ain't getting along with your GM, see ya, GM.
Let's talk about this on the other side.
All right. We will do that. Because Chad clearly has more stuff to say. And if you have something to say about it, hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. We'll get to it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Chad Brown in for Stink. Mark back tomorrow. Four Down Territory coming up here in about 13 minutes. So you, sensing that you had more to say, said, let's continue this conversation into the next segment here. So here we are. The whole Aaron Rodgers, Last Dance, Michael Jordan, referring to the Packers GM as Jerry Krause, the guy that we all learned during The Last Dance, singularly responsible for ending the Bulls dynasty. What was it you wanted to get out?
Really, we were up on the break, so I don't have much else to say. No. I think fans expect teams to think like fans. And players expect front offices to think like players. And front office guys expect everyone else to think like them. They're all very separate ways of thought. And I think that's where the disconnect happens. Owners, GMs, those guys tend to think a certain way. And as a player, I could only look at life through my eyes as a player. And for you as a player, time operates differently. You think you're going to be there forever. The general manager has to think about 5 years, 10 years down the road. They have conversations with the owners about those kind of things. They create budgets, you know, several years in advance, looking at salaries and who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. So in the midst of all these different ways of thinking, that's how these disconnects happen. The other side doesn't know how the other side is thinking. So until I became a coaching intern, I didn't think like a coach. And you, as a player, players are real. Their names, their personalities, their individual skill sets. As a coach, yeah, I respect the humanity in you, but essentially you're a chess piece for me. Let's go up one more step. You move to the front office. You're not like a coach. You're not thinking about chess pieces. You're thinking about commodities and product. So your thinking changes as you evolve within the game. So for Mark Murphy, essentially kind of the de facto head of the Packers organization, who was once an NFL player, the fact that he's been disconnected from the player side of things for so long and didn't go to his GM and say, you've got to manage this situation, because Aaron Rodgers is still a player and still thinking like a player. He does not see it as you see it. He came in during the end of Brett Favre's career, and now Jordan Love is now here, which now signals the end of his career. That situation needs to be handled and managed in a way that connects to the player side in Aaron Rodgers, not in the way that you see it as a general manager.
So how do these guys forget their roots? Because if you're a GM or you're a coach or you're a general manager, you don't just pop into that role. It's a long road. You've had to work your way up as a scout, as an assistant, as a quality control guy. I mean, you've gone through a pretty long, winding road to get to this point. And along the way, you've experienced the hardships. You've seen how difficult it can be. So then you get to this point where you're Jerry Krause. You know, you've got the greatest basketball player of all time. You got a dynasty, and somehow you lose sight of all that. You're Brian Gutekunst. You're the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, and you lose sight. You don't realize what you have in Aaron Rodgers to the point where you let that relationship get so bad. So that's the part I don't get.
Brian Gutekunst, is he eating lunch with the players, or is he eating lunch with front office people? When he wants to hang out and have a beer, does he go down to the locker room, or does he call his, you know, director of pro player personnel? Once you make the next step, then all your friends are from the next step.
Even though along the way you've seen how hard it is to win, how hard it is to be great, how hard it is to get to the top and stay at the top, how hard it is to find generational players that once you have them, they change the course of your franchise for a decade or more. You literally forget that?
I think they do.
Wow.
I think they do. I think that's what happens when you take that next step, because now when you're in the locker room, you're beholden to the guys in the locker room. That's your brotherhood. Not the coaches. Not the front office. You move into the coaches' ranks, you're beholden to the head coach and those guys. You're no longer beholden to the guys in the locker room. Those are my guys if I'm a position coach. But I'm beholden to the head coach and what he wants. In some cases, what the GM wants, who tells me, hey, I know you want to play this guy, but we want to see this guy play. So that shifting set of allegiances and alliances changes as you move up through the ladder. And I think that's what affects these things we're seeing now, where people lose track of what the last group they were in is actually thinking and feeling.
You know, Stank uses this line all the time. He goes, you think that there are egos in a locker room?
Oh, my goodness.
Walk upstairs.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Seriously, are the egos worse in a front office than they are in a locker room with alpha males?
So, yeah. So I thought there were tremendous egos in the locker room, which there are. Not just thinking. I know there are. Doing the coaching internships and doing, say, the personnel reports with the scouts and the general manager coming with the, and the coaches, and the coaches read off their personnel reports. And to see the visual disdain from the coaches having to do this for these scouts, and to see the scouts frowning at a coach's report. This is a coach who coaches this guy and has worked with this guy for the last 4 or 5 years. No one knows this player better than this coach. And to see these couches, these scouts, literally turn up their nose, I'm in there just like, oh my gosh, no wonder why you guys suck. No wonder why you guys are on the same page. The scout doesn't trust the coach. The coach doesn't trust the scout. And both sides think they're absolutely right, with no bend to the other side.
And now we add in the analytic angle.
Oh my goodness, yes. Now there's another group who doesn't just think they're right. Here's my numbers. I got all my numbers. I got all my spreadsheets
right
together. They
fact
tell me
right
I'm right.
Right.
The numbers don't lie.
Ooh.
So, yeah, trying to manage all those differing thoughts, personalities. Yeah, that's how that happens, Mike.
Four down territory coming up. Well, Brett Favre has an opinion on Aaron Rodgers. You'll hear it.
Does.
And Juwan James, the debate goes back and forth. We know how Broncos country feels. But should the Broncos listen to Broncos country or do what's right for their brotherhood of owners? Four Down Territory's next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
Yo soy fiesta.
Hurry. On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Just has got to have confidence that he can go out there and play with his knee, you know, coming off the injury. I don't think he had that the last time he tried to play when he came back. He was fine physically, but I don't think he, in his own mind, was comfortable and confident.
Chad Brown in for Mark Schlereth. There is Vic Fangio, of course, talking about Juwan James. And boy, you know you've done something when you are specifically named in an NFL memo that goes out to all teams, chief executives, club presidents, general managers, and head coaches from the NFL Management Council. And with the first line of the memo saying, the media recently reported that Denver Broncos player Juwan James suffered a significant, potentially season-ending injury while working out at a private gym away from the club's facility. The gist of the memo is that, hey, look, this is the way it is. Just a reminder, this has been in players' contracts since the 70s, that if you get hurt away from the facility, the teams are not obligated to pay you. You are not afforded the same kind of protections that you would get if you got hurt while working out at the team facility. And as a result, you don't have to pay the player. So it was a giant flex by the NFL yesterday.
Big time.
So does this mean that the Broncos don't pay Juwan James?
They certainly are well within their rights not to. I hope the former player in me hopes, and then I also believe that they will, because, again, the possibility of this being some kind of galvanizing moment for the players and the union at a time when the union is literally at its weakest, maybe where it's in the last 10 years, that could be a dangerous flex for the league to make.
To me, this is one of those cases where you sent out a very clear message. This is what we could do. I think it'd be smarter of the NFL not to do anything and let the players' own feelings of paranoia, worry, whatever, let that fester to the point where they lash out from within, get rid of DeMaurice Smith as the player, the head of their players' union, and let them sort of fight from within rather than the owners becoming that rallying cry for all the players.
Absolutely.
I think the NFL, if they just leave it at this, I think it's a brilliant move.
This is the best move they could possibly make. You take it too many steps further, then yes, then the players and union are rallying together at this point. All the arrows are pointed at the union, not at the NFL.
Right.
Yeah, stay above the fray, NFL. Pay Juwan James. Let this just move on and keep making your billions while the players make millions.
Next in four down territory.
Second down. I don't see him coming back and saying, if this is not resolved, however, whatever the issue is, if it's not resolved, or even if it's resolved, but he feels like they got one up on him, he ain't going to play. Knowing Aaron, he would sit.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks! Brett Favre weighing in on Aaron Rodgers. What if the Packers said, okay, Aaron, you get your way. We're going to fire the general manager. We're gonna appoint somebody who's only getting the job because we know he's going to work with you. We know he endorses you. First of all, two-part question. Could you see the Packers doing that? And secondly, if they did, would that be enough to repair the relationship?
I don't think it would be enough to repair it because you fire the GM, then the next thing is who do you bring in? And does Aaron get a chance to approve that? I think the divorce just has to happen here. And Aaron, again, is a very calculating guy. Did he throw out you have to fire the GM because he knew that was going to be a hill too tall to climb for the Packers to pull off? And if we let that happen, then what else does Aaron get to do? What else does he run around here? So did Aaron put that one out there knowing there's no way they're going to give to that one? That only further solidifies the divorce has to happen between us.
But why not give in to the player? Tampa Bay did it with Tom Brady. Yeah. They acquiesced to the players he wanted to be brought in. They changed the offense for him. Hey, it ended up working out great, but even early in the season, there were some rumblings that Bruce Arians and Brady weren't seeing eye to eye. Now, at the end, it all worked out. Everybody patted each other on the back for how there was give and take and great communication. And, you know, they're hanging out on party boats after winning the Super Bowl. But that easily could have gone the other way. And why would it have gone the other way? Because Tom Brady demanded this and that, and the Bucs and Bruce Arians said no.
I had Tampa Bay, New Orleans week one. I had Tampa Bay, Kansas City week 12, I believe it was. They didn't have that thing figured out. So Bruce Arians, if he ended up acquiescing to Tom Brady, he certainly fought it. In week one, that was a Bruce Arians offense.
Right.
In week 12, it was a mostly Bruce Arians offense. So he didn't just say, Tom, you can do whatever you want. There was certainly a fight and a begrudgingly giving of some space as time went along. That's more of a marriage of the minds and how to best execute as opposed to, Tom, you can do whatever you want.
Okay, but still, there was a lot of give and take. And I'm sure Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, saw that and said, I want the same thing. And if you're not going to give it to me, I want out. Next in four down territory.
Down. New quarterback for the Bucs. 5 seconds into the half. Gabbard drops the throw. Looks toward the NFL. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. It's Rob Gronkowski. A post route and a perfect throw by Blaine Gabbard. How about that?
Bucs Radio. Speaking of the Bucs, they've brought back Blaine Gabbard. By the way, they got kind of a crowded quarterback room. So Gabbard's the backup, trusted veteran backup, just in case. They drafted Kyle Trask, who clearly is just the developmental guy. But they also, who's the other quarterback? The guy that was brought back simply to be, you know, he was the guy that Tom Brady leaned on as he was hammered coming off the party boat. Who's that guy again?
Who was that guy? All I know is Tom Brady.
But he got re-signed too. I mean, do they have four quarterbacks in that room?
I believe so, but all I know is Tom Brady has posted pictures where Blaine Gabbert was cropped out of the photo. So, you know, what does that mean?
Really?
It's like a picture of Tom at a basketball game or something. He's on the courtside seat, and Blaine Gabbert's two seats away, and Blaine Gabbert just cropped out of that
photo. You think that was more just a gag?
I'm not sure if it was a gag or was it intentional.
Or was it Von Miller cropping out John Elway?
I don't think there's a beef in between those guys.
Brian Griffin, by the way,
okay,
is the quarterback.
I'm not sure. I doubt there's a beef. How could you not respect Tom?
Well, again, Tom Brady gets what he wants. So if he did not want Blaine Gabbert, Blaine Gabbert would not be coming back. So I assume that this was...
I love Tom Brady!
It was a joke.
I don't think Tom's the GM quite that way, man.
So, I guess they're going to have four quarterbacks?
You can't do that. That's just... Then your special teams suffer. No, that's not smart.
Although, the Patriots kept four quarterbacks the year that they had Tom Brady as a rookie.
Worked out for
him. It worked out for him. Third and long. We got a punt.
The King is here.
Thank you, Marquette. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. All right, we got a lot to react to. Lots to unpack here. A lot of texts. We got Question Chad coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get to all that next. Chad Brown in for Stink. Mark back tomorrow.
Chad Brown.
Question Chad coming up at the top of the hour. A lot of Bronco fans are very upset at the idea that Juwan James, who got paid $17 million to play 63 snaps, the math has been done. It's like $250,000 per snap. The idea that you still pay this guy when the Broncos have no need, no obligation to do so. To quote the great Philip Rivers, irritates the stew out of him.
I completely understand that. And I'm not trying to defend Juwan James specifically. And I understand how people want to lump in what has happened in the past with this circumstance. I would say the same thing if it was a different player. It's got less to do with Juwan James specifically and more to do with player protections and the fact that the NFL did not have an off-season policy for COVID. The union, seeking to protect their players, told the players to stay the way until we can figure that policy out. Juwan James, just as every other player, was working out to prepare for the season given that unusual set of circumstances. He gets injured. Now he becomes the poster child for this. I see this as a separate issue than Juwan James, quote-unquote, stealing in the past. I understand for the fans it's difficult for them to separate those out, but that's what I'm doing. If this was 20 years ago and it was John Elway, if it was some first-year rookie, it wouldn't matter who it was. I'm more trying to defend the player within this odd circumstance. I am certainly not defending Juwan James and his tenure here at the Broncos. It's got less to do with Juwan James and just this is about player protection in my mind.
But you can see why it's...
I can completely see
why.
So
you get texts like these. Chad, you're out of your mind. You reward guys who give their heart and soul for the team. James never did that. Why go above and beyond the contract for a guy who never did that for the team?
Yeah, again, see, he's dealing with a very specifics to Juwan James. It's got nothing to do with Juwan James. It's all about player protections. If this was Justin Simmons, I'd say the same thing. If it was Melvin Gordon, if it was who just signed with somebody else in the last couple of days? Guy was in the secondary.
With here?
Yeah.
Will Parks.
Will Parks. If it was Will Parks, who's now a Kansas City Chief. It's got nothing to do with Broncos, Chiefs, Steelers, Patriots, Juwan James, John Elway. It's got nothing to do with any of the specifics. It's about this unusual circumstance that all the players found themselves in, trying to adhere to union advice, and this situation happened. It's unfortunate that the player would have to suffer for that. And because Juwan James is the poster child for this, people want to lump in the rest of Juwan James's career into that. Again, I see this as a very separate thing. No one. I'm not seeking to reward Juwan James. I'm seeking to defend player and player protections, or for all players.
Well, I'm going to speak here and represent the fans and say, well, shouldn't even the players, even the union, be able to understand and know the Juwan James story here in Denver and understand? Well, this is kind of a unique situation. I can understand why the Broncos aren't paying him, don't want to pay him. As a player, even I can recognize, hey, man, you know, this guy got a great deal. This guy got paid $17 million to play 63 snaps. He hasn't exactly gone above and beyond. You know, yeah, maybe it sets a bad precedent, but I can understand why the Broncos. Can a player think that way? Because that's not the fans think. But can a player think that way?
A player can, I think, can understand why the fans think that way. Pac-Man Jones was not a great representative for the NFL. But he still is afforded all the protections that every other player is afforded to. His behavior does not take away all these different things that the league and the union have put in place to protect players. Your behavior doesn't remove society's protections from you. Just because you robbed a bank, somebody hits you in a DUI case, are you not obligated to all the protections that someone else would get? Your past behavior doesn't connect to your current issue. I know it's nice and convenient, and it's logical for fans to see and tie that together, but for me, the player protections come before what Juwan James did in the past.
If you were a teammate of Juwan James the last couple of years, how would you?
Oh, he would not be my favorite teammate. I wanted guys who laid it on the line. I wanted guys where football was the most important thing to them. And, you know, I suppose we can argue about, Juwan James's motivations. But from the outside looking in, it clearly appeared that he was not a motivated football player. The soundbite we've played from Vic Fangio all day, you know, speaks to a coach who has doubt about the player's heart for football. He doesn't say it that clearly, but that's what he's trying to imply there. If I were in that locker room, I would feel the same way. But that still doesn't mean the protections for players need to be taken away from him.
You'd still be able to look at the big picture.
You'd be able
to separate the two.
As a union representative for 8 of my 15 years in the NFL, my job was to inform the players about these things that are in place for them. If you get hurt, there's workman comp out there for you. If you know, there's a 401k, the owners are doing a 2-for-1 match. All these different things that are in place, it is my job to inform you of that. So I don't care if you're a practice squad. I don't care if you suck. I don't care if you cost us the last game. These things are put in place for all the players, regardless of performance, regardless of heart for the game. They're all for us to take part in.
What about this one? This one comes in. Chad, I disagree with paying James for so many reasons. I get your point. I'm a union guy myself, but the players know what is in their contract. They chose a boycott of the voluntary OTAs. That is the risk they take.
He's got a fantastic point. At what point do you follow union advice? The union put out memos and advised players to stay away, not for a fight with ownership, in attempts to protect the players in a very unprecedented, unusual circumstance. There were COVID protocols that existed all season long. In fact, those protocols are going to go back in place, I think, coming up here later this month. They're going to start those up again. But there was nothing in place to govern the league and all the players and to create a uniform set of circumstances for players to be protected from possible COVID exposure. Very unusual circumstances. If it was Juwan James choosing to be away and all those other circumstances weren't in place, I would be far more willing to see where the league is putting the hard line down, and I would probably agree with more of these fans. But the unusual set of circumstances here, following union advice, certainly points the finger at the union. But Juwan James, he's guilty for following union advice?
I guess I got to go back and look at it a little deeper. But when the union was recommending to players to stay away from these voluntary workouts, did they also acknowledge, look, if you work out and get hurt, you are opening yourself up to not getting paid?
I do not recall.
I don't recall that either.
Hearing that. And
that's an epic fail on the part of
the union.
the union and all the, you know, Brandon McManus and all the union reps.
And we heard from Brandon McManus. We heard from Justin Simmons when this issue came up. Yes, so from a union perspective, I believe it is a massive fail. If you're going to go with this is plan A, you have to understand what that plan could do if something else crops up. What are all the potential circumstances and issues that could crop up if we ask the players to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And this Juwan James thing happened. Again, Juwan James is a poster child for this. And unfortunately, particularly here in Denver, he is the worst poster child you could ever draw up for Bronco fans.
Right.
Because in some ways, they do want vengeance. They do want retribution for a guy they feel has stolen
right.
from their team.
And you have, and that's what makes this debate so fascinating to me, is because Bronco country, not only are you justified in feeling the way you feel and you want that vengeance, vengeance is mine. I guarantee you, Chad just laid it out. There are teammates of Juwan James.
Oh, absolutely.
Who don't like him and don't like the way that he has been able to cash in without having to go out and perform and lay it on the line. You have fans, you have allies that are with you that are Bronco players. But here's the problem. The bigger picture involved. And this is where even the players that don't agree with Juwan James, don't respect Juwan James, have to sit back and say, okay, but we got to think of the bigger picture here. And if this becomes a precedent, we all could suffer. We all could be impacted and hurt by this as players. So we've got to fight for Juwan James to get paid. And if you're the owners, again, I come back to the owners. Hey, look, the owners are they're laughing at this. That memo, man, you want to talk about dealing from a position of strength. I mean, they were just, look, this is the contract. This is what we can do. But I think even the owners realize, hey, let's send out the message. Let's remind everybody. Let's plant a seed in all the players' heads. This is what happens if you don't report. We'll let the players start to crumble from within. We don't need to give them a rallying cry by enforcing what we could so easily enforce. We've got the players on the run. They are completely under our thumb. Why do we want to do anything to really give them something to rally around? That's why I would still be surprised. I would be really surprised if the Broncos enforce this and said, hey, you got hurt outside the facility. We're not paying you. I'd really be surprised if they enforce that.
The owners have the power in this particular situation. The union, just within the last 10 days, was talking about trying to go with an all-virtual off-season. You think players are going to sign up for that? They've managed to create a rift between the players and the union at a time when the union is literally at its weakest. You know, these pieces that come out about the union and the loss of revenue share, you don't think that's approved by the owners? Those stories aren't pushed out by the owners in attempts to weaken the union? Of course they are. Did the union make a bad deal? I don't think there's any doubt about that. Did the players win extra time in the offseason in exchange for money? I suppose they won something, but it wasn't something that really counts. That's money. And now the whole thing is blowing up because this plan of having less in-house work and more time away from the facility, now the flaw has been exposed. You have exposed yourself to losing your guaranteed money. So you fought for something that has potential to take away your guaranteed money. Now, how do you feel about your win of the offseason?
Right.
It's a loss now.
Right.
The owners have grabbed all the power in this one, and the owners to take even more power and punish Juwan James, I think would, to your point yesterday, and as we talked about today, only further galvanize the union and the players together at a time when they're already breaking apart all on their own. So the owners to not play hardball would actually be the stronger power move for them.
Yeah.
Let this thing break up over there.
Yep.
If we push this any further, they're going to come together
yep.
and put together a stronger fight.
Yeah. I wish people would see that. And I'm not People are accusing me of defending Juwan James. I'm not.
No. I'm not either, just to be clear.
I think this guy has stolen, I mean, shades of riding up on their gang on horses to the train with their masks on.
Stagecoach robbery.
I mean, stagecoach robbery of the high. I mean, it's the Brinks job all over again, right?
What's that Netflix series about the greatest art heist ever? Yes.
Look, I agree with you. He should not be paid. But I'm looking at the bigger picture here, and you, folks, I hear stories from you, Chad. I hear stories from Tyler Palumbis of, from Schlereth, and it's all the same. It's like, man, we got the weakest union. You know, we talk tough, but when it actually comes time to ride it out and prove our point, we crumble. We crumble. We crumble from within. We don't have the fortitude. We don't have the strength to actually see this through. And the owners know that. So why in the world do you give a union that is always self-destructive, always kicking themselves in the foot, why give them any reason to really rally around a cause? That's the only point I'm making. I'm not defending Juwan James. I'm just looking at the bigger picture here, and it's why I think it would be smart for the owners not to enforce this. I know you want your pound of flesh, Broncos fans. I get it. Chad's even telling you that there are Bronco players that would like to see the Broncos get their pound of flesh. But understand it, it becomes a bigger issue. And I wish that you could see it. Some of you don't. Okay. You're calling us turds. All right. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.